Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
Appreciate that. But we're just excited about what God is doing and just thank God for the opportunity to come and share with you guys. I know that the church is not filled up this morning, but I know that you guys are watching on Facebook. So I'm just excited about this because one thing, I feel like I'm a little nervous, but then again, I'm in my natural environment preaching this morning. So it's not a natural environment, but it's the call of God. But I just want to share some things with you, and this is not, what I'm going to share with you this morning is not a condemning, is not a beat over the head with the scriptures or anything like that. But as I was asked to minister, this thought came to my mind, being content. You know, and how many know Paul talks about that in the book of Philippians? We'll go there if you would. Philippians, the fourth chapter. And I will begin reading at the 10th verse. Paul, he talks about a lot of good stuff in that chapter, but I'm going to go to the 10th verse. And it says, "But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last you have revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you like opportunity. Now, not that I speak for want." And what Paul is saying here, the church, the Philippian church, was a church that supported Paul's mission journeys many a times. If you read the history of it, really, this church really supported him probably more than any other church, you know, but they were supportive of his ministry, you know. And Paul is letting them know here that I'm not speaking of want, but what Paul was really looking for in the church was the fruit. And that's what we want to talk about this morning, because Paul said, "Not that I speak for want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am." Another translation says, "Whatever situation I am." And what great opportunity for the church to be content in this time. And that word content don't mean just not do anything. But what that word really means, it means to be pleased or be satisfied and happy. Literally express an independent of others and having sufficiency in oneself. But we know that our sufficiency is not in oneself, but it's in God. And this is what Paul is said that I've learned. You know, if you look back at the 9th verse, Paul told them, he said, "The things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things." You know, and when he said the word practice, I mean, you know, it took me back to when I was playing baseball. You know, that even before we would practice, we had to prep the field, you know, what they would call drag the field and get it ready, get all the rocks out of the way so if a ball come, you know, it won't pop up a rock or, you know, go contrary. But anyway, when he said that, you know, practice means that I have to do something. You know, so many times, you know, when we think of the word content, that means that I just sit back, I do nothing. But what Paul is saying is I have learned to be content in different situations. And we are in a situation today to where that, you know, the coronavirus is going on and you know, we can't gather like we once have. But how many know that we're going to come back together? God has got this thing in control. But I just want to encourage you and exalt you to begin to take advantage of this opportunity. You know, Paul speaks about redeeming the time. And what that really means is making full use of the time. You know, redeeming the time. You know, that was a time that, you know, you probably would have said, "Well, I don't have time to read. I don't have time to do this book. I don't have time to pray." But I mean, you know, God has got it situated now. Guess what? You got time. You know, and it is a good thing. You know, don't get discouraged. We're coming back together, but I just want to encourage you to take this time and this opportunity to really read that book that you've always said, "I wished I had time to just go through this book and just soak in it." You know, because what Paul is doing here, he said, "I have learned to be content." Okay? And what we got to understand here is that our sufficiency is in God. Okay? And notice what Paul is saying here. Let me get to the word, and sometimes I get ahead of myself. You know how I am. Y'all done been here and heard me preach before, but somebody looking on, just bear with me, okay? But anyway, he says, but in verse 10, he said, you know, he was talking about concerning want, but you know how they like opportunity to give. But he wasn't concerned about their giving, even though he was appreciative and he was grateful for them giving to him. But the thing that Paul wants them to learn is this: I have learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. And I also know how to live in prosperity. And I also know how to live in prosperity. And in any and every circumstance, notice what he said, in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, I just want to pull out a few things here. If you will look at 2 Corinthians, the third chapter in the fifth verse, it says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the spirit. The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. You know, and what Paul is saying, he's learned these things. And I believe, you know, the secret of him learning these things is based on the Holy Spirit. The Spirit taught Paul how to be content. In whatever situation you are, if you know anything about Paul, most of his letters was written where? In prison. And Paul learned in prison that I can still have the same joy on the outside as I do on the inside of this jail cell. And you might say, well, how can you prove that? Because there was a time that they were in jail. And Paul and I think it was Silas, I believe it was, that they were in jail. And Paul, instead of them complaining and grumbling and asking God, when are you going to get us out of here? They started to pray and praise God. See, being content. See, and that's what the Holy Spirit want to do. Sure, the Holy Spirit can make us shout and jump and have a good time, but the Holy Spirit is much more than that. He want to teach us how to be content in every circumstance that we go through in life. Why? Because our dependency is not on these earthly things. Our dependency is on God. And so when our dependency is on God, it don't matter what's going on around me, I know that God have my back in this. I know God is going to see us through this coronavirus. I know he is. You say, well, why is all these tragedies happen? I can't explain that. And I'm not here to explain that, but I'm here to say that we serve a God that is faithful in the midst of everything that we're going through, and we can depend upon him, and we can find happiness and joy in him. Why? Because it's all in the Spirit of God. And I don't want to spiritualize everything because we are in a natural world, but how many know the Spirit exceeds the natural? Yeah. So that's what we pull on because we're born again of God's Spirit. Now, let me just slow down a little bit here. Let's go to St. John for a second. Let me give you this scripture here, St. John 14. And we're going to see, because Paul said he learned the secret of being content. You know, and how many know the secret thing belonged to God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and our sons and daughters? See, because the Holy Spirit is what? The revealer. He reveals the truth of God's word. Listen to what it says, 14 and verse 16. I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And I want you to look at this scripture here, because what Jesus is saying, I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper. That another helper means I will give you the same kind that I am. Just like me, I'm going to pray the Father and he's going to give you a helper. How many know we need help in this time? And the helper is in us. And what we have to understand is that the same way, the same Holy Spirit that Jesus had indwells us. I believe they sung it in a song this morning. The resurrection power resides on the inside of us. The same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead dwells within the born again church. And this is why we can be content in him. Why? Because our sufficiency is in him. Our joy is in him. You know, our peace is in him. You know, there's a peace in the world when everything is going well, there is peace. But how many know in a chaotic situation, the world is in turmoil? But how many know as the church, we can have peace in this time? Why? Because of who we know and whose we are. And this is why we can be content. I want you to look at another scripture here in Timothy, chapter 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 through 8. Now, godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we should be content. Say, and how many know, God, we have food, we have clothing. You know, we don't need to be just saying, you know, I know they're talking about gouging and people, you know, gathering all the toilet tissues, the paper towel, all the sanitizers, all these things. I mean, you know, we need to be considerate of others. You know, as a church, let us be the light that says, you know, I'm not going to hob all this in. I'm going to give to somebody else. You know, we were so blessed the other day. I was out cutting grass. And I seen the little feller, you know, he was out in the yard, and him and his mom, and he was just waving his hand. I thought he was speaking to me, you know. I just waved my hand back to him, you know. And then I looks up, and then he comes. He was on these roller skates or something. He was, I mean, I said, what in the world? How did he get to me that quick? But anyway, he came across the road, and he says, we want to give y'all some tissue. You know, and I'm looking, I'm thinking, my Jesus, you know. And I said, okay, thank you. So, you know, just neighbors being kind to one another. We didn't even have to ask for it, you know, and we're not harboring tissue or anything. You know, we want to give also. But I was moved by that because it let me realize that God's people are reaching out. Amen. You know, and if they don't know God, it's an opportunity for me to get to shine even brighter before them to show them that I appreciate what they did for us. So I rode over them more, you know, and just thanked the mom because she was out there with the kids, you know. Anyway, we was practicing social distance, you know, and I could realize, see her bagging up, but I wasn't going to go up on. I was just wanting to say thank you for the tissue. And then I'd leave, and then they come over, and she said, look, we're neighbors, you know, God has blessed us. And I said, yes, God has blessed us too. If you guys need anything, let us know, you know. Why? Because we are content. We have clothes. We have food. I'm not saying that we have it all, but we have enough to survive this. And even if we don't, God is going to make provision for us to have. And this is why we have to be, just take advantage of this time and let's be content. You know, take this time and say, God, the times that I failed to pray, the times that I failed to read, God, I want to take advantage of this time. Learn from this time and begin to build, rekindle the fire, rekindle that relationship with God, rekindle those things that we've allowed to slip away. And I believe this is a wake-up call for the church to get back to where we need to be with God, and not just the church as well. How many know the building as well? But in reality, we are the church. We gather to learn, to be educated, to be taught the word of God. But I believe that we have taken it so for granted that we come here and we get filled up and we go back out and we go back to our easy chairs and we relax and take it easy. Then we come back again and get filled up. And I believe God is saying, let's have a little fun with the church a little bit here. Because God takes advantage of every opportunity. What the devil meant for evil, God is going to work it for good. Even Paul, the same guy that wrote this, where I have learned to be content, Paul said that all things work together for the good of those that love God and the call according to his purpose. And how many know we are called according to his purpose? Why? Because we're being conformed into the likeness of his son. That's his purpose, that we be conformed into his son. But if we just come to church and just go back home, I mean, you know, it's very likely that you will be conformed into the image of son. Why? Because you got to get in the word of God and you got to practice the word of God and allow God to shape those things, the things of his son on the inside of us. And I believe this is what Paul is saying, that he had been so conformed into Christ to where he realized, regardless, whatever I go through, I'm going to be content because I know I'm coming out on the other side. I know it's going to work good for me because I love God and I've been called according to his purpose. And he's saying here, you know, in verse, let me get back, let's finish this in John. So he's giving us the helper, which is the Holy Spirit. And what it really means is another of equal quality. He's given us the Holy Spirit, another of equal quality of who? Jesus Christ. So you can't go around saying, well, you know, Jesus, but you know, Jesus had this. No, we got the same Spirit that was on the inside of Christ doing the work through him. We have the same opportunity to do the works of Christ. By what Jesus said, he said, greater works than these shall you do because I go to the Father. Amen. So the greater work, you know, is being worked in us by the Spirit of God so it can come up out of us. So that we just don't be religious roebucks, you know, repeating our cookie cutters after somebody else, but we're genuine. What the Holy Ghost has worked in us, can come up out of us. And this is what God is doing. See, what he's doing is teaching us how to be content. And that word content, again, don't mean just sit back and do nothing. It don't mean, well, you know, I'm just content, my full and no more. You know, no, if you got enough, begin to minister to somebody else. Give to somebody else. You know, become the extended hands of Jesus Christ. You don't even have to say nothing. You don't even have to preach a message. When you just give the people, you just say, hey, look, I just want to give you this. Do you have sanitizer? No, I went to the store. They didn't have none. Look, I got 3 cans here. Here, you take a can. You know, it blows people's mind when you do stuff to them and you don't have no relationship. They don't know where you're from. They don't know. And they be looking at you like, well, what can I do for you? Can I pay you? No, you don't owe me a dime. It's just out of the love and compassion of the Father, you know. And if it goes any further, begin to share your testimony with them. You know, look, you know, God has blessed us to have plenty. And I want to share with you what God has given to us, you know. And they might say, well, you know, I don't believe in God, but that's okay. He loves you anyway. And this is just an extended of his love. Why? Because I'm content within him. I'm not losing my mind. I'm not coming unglued in this time. Really, I'm excited. Oh, let me settle down here. I'm excited because I know something great is coming out of this. It's causing the church to turn back to God and be at odd again. I'm telling you, the worship service this morning, I know the church wasn't full, but I tell you, it was full with the glory and the power of God. Just resonating from the songs and the words that was spoken this morning. You know what that tells me? God is saying, this is what I want, a worship that's not dependent upon my neighbor over here. Well, I'm going to be like this one over here. Well, I'm going to hallelujah like this one. No, right now, it's all me and Jesus, amen? And how many know that we're not excluding people? We love people. And we make a difference. We love God, we love people, and we make a difference. But sometimes we think, well, I don't need people. How many know God didn't create us to be alone? But in this season and in this time, we obey what the authorities have said. We use social distance. We use sanitizers. We submit to the authority. Does that mean that God has changed? No, God is still the same yesterday and forever. Today, yesterday, and forever. But what we have to realize, this right here, this is a time that I can be studying the Word of God. reaching out to others. You know, you can use social distance. You still can minister, lay it on the porch and walk away. Okay? That's just a note on the side. I won't charge you anything for that. Okay. But anyway, let's get back to this so I can finish up here. I got a few more minutes. But realizing what Jesus is, what Paul is saying, you know, and Paul also, he taught Timothy this. He's saying, you know, in the sixth chapter when he said, you know, having food and clothing with these, we should be content. You know, some people think, you know, that to be godly means I got to have the best. I got to have more, you know. And Paul talked about, did you realize Paul didn't leave out anybody? He said, I know how to be content with what? Little. I know how to be content with what? Prosperity. I know how to be content with humble means. I mean, he covered it all. So we're not preaching a gospel here of poor and disgusted. I mean, you know, the Bible says that, beloved, above all, I wish that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as what? Thy soul prospers. I mean, you know, prosperity is for the church. But so many a times we only look at prosperity for what? Wealth, money. But how many know we need to prosper in our soul? Our mind, our will, and our emotions. That's why when you begin to prosper in your spirit, in your soul, I mean, you know that when you begin to feel like you're alone, you know all the time that Jesus is on the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you. We're never alone, but that don't mean that we isolate ourselves. We do need relationships. We do need community. We just right now God, it's a pause button right now, but it's about to be unpaused. See, but what we have to do is learn in this time. Learn all we can in this time. Sharpen yourself in the Word of God. Sharpen yourself in prayer. Okay, because when this thing begins to lift, it's not going to be as usual. You know why? Because God is dealing with us now, changing us for the new assignments, the new adventures, the new messages, ears to hear what he's saying. See, and what God is wanting to do, he's wanting us to hear. That's why he said, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. For so long we've been entertained. You know, we've been entertained. But now, I mean, you know, we want to hear what God is saying and begin to what? Align ourselves with what God is saying. Amen? And this is what Paul is encouraging us. And he's telling the Philippians, he's letting them know, look, I've learned this, you know, and this is what I'm doing. I'm learning to be content. Pastor Charlie, I hadn't got there yet, but I'm learning, you know. And when you learn, you're being what? You're being taught. You know, but I'm learning, even in humble means. See, you know, humble means don't mean that, you know, that we're busted and disgusted and we're begging. What humble means really, what it really means to be humble is to be dependent upon him. That's why Paul said, blessed are they that are poor in the spirit. For theirs is what? The kingdom of God. See, the humble part doesn't mean that we just lay down and just look like a beggar. That's not what he's saying. Humbleness means that my dependency is on him. My dependency is on Christ, the Christ that's on the inside of me. Because that's what Paul said. Let's move on here in verse 12 when he says, and I know how to get along with humble means, and I also know how to live in prosperity. See, if you be honest, some people don't understand. They don't know how to live in prosperity. You know why? Because as soon as they get a little money, they forget about God. And I know, oh, the preacher wants my money. I know it was cut. No, I'm not saying that. But I'm just saying, people say this. They say, look, when my ship come in, I'm going to bless the house of God. And you know, most of the time, those people, if you don't do it when you just got little, guess what? When you get a lot, you ain't going to do it. See, that's a principle. See, when we're faithful over the little, and when God begin to give us much, we're always mindful of where it's coming from. We're always mindful, I could be broke tomorrow. See, but when my dependency is not on the prosperity, my dependency is on the one that gives it. Amen? Because he said that I will what? Give you what? your needs according to his riches and glory. See, God has got it for us. He wants us to prosper, but he wants us to prosper in our spirit man too, in our soul too, okay? But listen what he's saying here, because he didn't leave out anybody. He said, and in any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry. You know, and sometimes we look at that and we could say, you know, why did God allow Paul to go hungry? You know what I think? So that Paul would cry out to him, say, God, I'm hungry. And God has sent, it might be a raven. I mean, you know, Elijah, he sent a raven to feed him. You know, and God, David said, look, I've been young and now I'm old, and I never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed or his descendants begging bread. See, God is a way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. That's our God. See, and when the enemy thought that he was going to cause us to shrink back and be afraid, it's taking us, pushing us right up into God, pushing us up to him. God, I realize now how much I really need you. I realize now how much I really need you. I can't make it without you. See, the secret is this. Do you not know every mankind has a void in them if they have not accepted Jesus Christ? There is a longing in every human being to be filled. That's why we try all kind of stuff trying to fulfill a void that's in us that only Christ can fill. And the secret to what Paul is saying here is that the Spirit has gave me a revelation. He's revealed to me that I'm with you and I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide for you. I'm going to be your provision. I'm going to be your keeper. I'm going to be your helper. Guess what? I'm excited. Because he's in me. And guess what? Peace comes along with him. That's the fruit of the Spirit. Peace, joy, love. That's the fruit of the Spirit. And guess what? I can feed on that. I can partake of that. See, even Paul said, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's peace, righteousness, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Man, it's in us. See, but where the world, they get upset and get down, you know, they look at us and say, why are you so happy? Don't you know what's going on? I know a God that's more than enough, that's greater than Corona. Yeah. Amen? He's greater than that. The Bible said, well, I ain't going to go there. You ain't going down the road, but let me stay here, okay? But anyway, let's move on. I got about 4 minutes, and I'm going to wrap this up, okay? It says, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both of having abundance and suffering need. How many know that when one suffer, we all suffer? You know, and we know that we're suffering because we want the answer to this coronavirus. I'm tired of seeing people being sick and afflicted. You know, as a believer, I'm thanking God for this coming to an end. See, I done prayed and asked him, and now I'm thanking you. Daddy, I thank you that you're bringing this to an end. Amen. I thank you, Father, because you're bringing this to an end. You know, and we thank you and we praise you because we know that people are suffering, have lost loved ones, and my heart goes out to those. We have compassion for those, but how many know I can't explain all this stuff, what's going on. So I'm not going to try to, but I'm going to tell you this, God is good. All the time, he is good. Let's look at these. I got two more verses here and I'll be through, okay? Three more. We are afflicted. Look in 2 Corinthians, because Paul is saying, 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired. I mean, you know, we live in some perplexing times, but we are not despaired. God is going to see us through this. God is going to bring good out of this, you know. And then he goes on in verse 13. He said, I can do, and this is a catcher here. After all Paul is saying, and I know we quote this scripture, but we don't go back and see what Paul is really alluding to here. What he's saying is, I have learned to be content. Why? I can do all things through him who strengthens me. And that's the catch right there. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What are you saying, preacher, here? I can do all things through him. I can make it through this season through him. I can make it in this time because of him. You know, and Paul is saying, I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Who is the him that strengthens him? The Holy Spirit, Christ, the anointed one. And how many know you have been anointed for such a time as this? God has not left us alone just because of what's going on in the world today, but God is saying, I'm getting ready to turn the lights up brighter, that my glory will begin to reflect out of my body. Amen. He's turning it up. He's causing the glory to be turned up to be a brighter and a brighter glory. Amen. So Paul is saying, through him who strengthens me, you know, and what he's saying is him who gives me the power. It is him who gives me the power to be content. That is by virtue of my living union and my identification with him. See, Paul's relationship with God. See, this is why we can't just base our relationship on just coming to church or coming to a gathering. Because our relationship with God is every day. That's why we say it is a personal relationship. Every day we need to be talking to God. We need to be praying to God. We need to be meditating. And this is what God, this is what Paul, he began to, he's letting us know, look, the power of him, the power of the Holy Spirit, because of my union with him and my identity with him. See, I lost the identity of John. Now I'm taking on the identity of Christ. And it's letting me know, John, you're not it anymore. It's him. See, for so many years, we thought, well, hey, everything builds around me. But how many know God's got a way of purging things out of us, growing us up to where we realize that our identity is in Christ. It's not in my past. It's not in what I did, but my identity is in Christ. Why? Because the blood of Jesus has cleansed me from what? All sin, guilt, and shame. Now I have a true identity in him, and guess what? I have a great future in him. Amen. You know, I got heaven to gain one day, but guess what? There's work to be done in the earth. I got to occupy till he say, John, come home, my good and faithful servant. Amen. But now the church is the instrument that God is raising up to bring that redemption to those that don't know him. But see, our union with him and us praying and fellowshipping with him. You know, the worship was great today. But see, I don't have these guys with me all the time. You know, play me one of them keys that you played, Pastor Charlie. Get me out of this. You know, I don't have that. But guess what? The Holy Spirit is always with me. And that song and the melody is a weapon. That I can just, ooh, glory to God. I can throw my antennas up and just start worship him. You know, yes, I'm not saying I'm excluding people. I love people. I want to be around my family, my church family. But guess what? There is a time that it's just you and God. And that's what he longs for. So that when you go out, you are displaying him instead of you. You're reflecting him. Because of what you receive. See, and that's what he said. You know, remember Paul said, I've learned the secret. But watch this. Jesus said, whatsoever you do in secret, he rewards you what? Openly. See, the closet, when you get in your closet and you come out, it's like Batman coming out of the booth. Boom, there it is. Clark Kent, Superman, Clark Kent. Yeah, I got my characters mixed up there. But anyway, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, but our last scripture is this. Let's look at Galatians 2 and 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself up for me. See, that's our identity. We were crucified with Christ. See, God has took care of the sin problem. Now he's looking for a surrender of our own wills to allow him to manifest himself through us. Amen? Amen. Trust that you got something out of that. We're going to pray, and then you will be hearing from our pastor. Our pastor has a word for, there'll be a word from our pastor right after I pray, okay? Father, we thank you today, Lord, and we thank you for our time that we're in, Lord. And God, we know, God, that we thank you, God, that this is coming to an end. But God, I pray that we'll learn everything that you want us to learn in this time, in this season that we are in right now. Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. Teach us and reveal to us the very heart of the Father. And we know that it is your desire that we be transformed into the likeness of the Son of the living God. So, Father, we thank you today as we depart from here, but never your presence. Watch over us and protect us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org. Or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.